The Old Testament reading is from Job chapter 28, starting from the first verse. Surely there is a mine for silver and a place for gold to be refined. Iron is taken out of the earth, and copper is smelted from ore. Miners put an end to darkness and search out to the farthest bound the ore in gloom and deep darkness. They open shafts in a valley away from human habitation. They are forgotten by travelers. They sway suspended, remote from people. As for the earth, out of it comes bread, but underneath it is turned up as by fire. Its stones are the place of sapphires, and its dust contains gold. That path no bird of prey knows, and the falcon's eye has not seen it. The proud, wild animals have not trodden it. The lion has not passed over it. They put their hand to the flinty rock and overturn mountains by the roots. They cut out channels in the rocks, and their eyes see every precious thing. The sources of the rivers they probe, hidden things they bring to light. But where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Mortals do not know the way to it, and it is not found in the land of the living. The deep says, "It is not in me." And the sea says, "It is not with me." It cannot be bought for gold, and silver cannot be weighed out as its price. It cannot be valued in the gold of Ophir, in precious onyx or sapphire. Gold and glass cannot equal it, nor can it be exchanged for jewels of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or of crystal. The price of wisdom is above pearls. And then two verses from Matthew. Chapter 13. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We have new microphones. I think I've switched it on. Is that right? Yeah. Okay, we're okay. Good. Thank you, Dave, for leading the service this morning as well. Diamonds, they say, are a girl's best friend. Great song, even if it does promote a rather shallow view of women. What about pearls? A short while ago, not this last week, I was in Thailand and went on a tourist trip round a pearl factory, which trumpeted the fact that it was producing some of the finest pearls in the world. The attendants in the shop all had fixed smiles as large numbers of tourists made their way through the extremely expensive displays without buying anything. A pearl of great price. A merchant finds it and sells everything he has to buy it. I don't know what the pearl jewelry market in first century Palestine was like, but I guess there was quite a trade. But like in the previous verse that we have just heard, the treasure buried in a field, which it seems was quite a common way of guaranteeing the security of your treasure in days before banks and cameras and all the rest of it. But like that verse, the point is not the pearl, nor indeed the treasure. The kingdom of God is not so much like them as first it is like the desire for them. That's where we've got to at the end of all this kingdom stuff. The kingdom of God, justice, peace, love, all the rest of it, the greatest, best, and highest place, the finest, the loveliest, the kindest way of life, the richest, fairest, happiest state of humanity, that is what we desire. That's what we want. All of us, young and old, rich and poor, happy, not so happy. The kingdom of God. Meet someone who says they are completely content with their lot, and you can't help thinking, yeah, right. Because we're not made that way, are we? We want more. We are driven by desires and cravings and unfulfilled needs, by visions of how much better things will be if we leave the EU, if we don't leave the EU, if we win the lottery, if we were prettier or handsomer or cleverer or more confident than we are. We are not so much Homo sapiens, we are Homo sapiens. I'll come back to that, the wise human, you know, over against the dumb animals. We don't hear so much about those these days, do we, dumb animals? Thanks largely to David Attenborough. Are you enjoying Dynasties? Watching it from behind your fingers, probably. It is what makes the world go round. Not so much Homo sapiens as Homo desiderium, desiring humans. It's what makes the world go round, from Job's mines to the Alaskan gold rush to the pearl divers who of the world's seas who dive down hundreds of feet to find that precious, perfect pearl. And did you notice in the reading from Job what costs more than pearls? What is precious? What is elusive? What the animals pass by? What the miners cannot find? Beyond the deepest understanding, the most ardent searching, it is wisdom. The price of wisdom is above pearls. Wisdom. Here is a massive generalization that is generally true. For centuries, wisdom was the great desire of humankind. If you wanted to achieve the best kind of life in the best kind of society, good health, prosperity for everybody, long before capitalism and Marxism and all the other isms, you needed to find wisdom. The price of wisdom is above pearls, says Job. That was Job's world. That was the ancient world. From China to Latin America to Europe to Persia, they desired above all things, above even pearls, wisdom. That was what the wise men were looking for when they came looking for Jesus. What the shepherds were acutely conscious that they, in their lowly estate, had little of, until they saw the angels in the sky. That's what runs through the Old Testament. Wisdom, the search for it, the precious nature of it, the very first thing that God made. Wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her. By the way, wisdom is usually portrayed as female. So put that in your pipe and smoke it. And to go back to that massive generalization, nobody desires wisdom anymore. It's not completely true. I had a conversation some years ago with somebody who said, well, I'm not religious, but I've always tried to learn as much as possible so as to become wise. Philip Larkin, the poet, in an empty church, called it a place to grow wise in. Still, it is generally true that the ancient quest for wisdom has been replaced by Black Friday, freedom, good health, exciting experiences, knowledge for its own sake, all the lusts of the modern age, money, drink, drugs, sex, and power. But still, the desire. Homo desiderium, the desiring human. The desire, not the pearl, not even wisdom, is what Jesus says is like the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God. Strive for it. Earnestly desire it. Make it the first thing. Everything else will come as well. But seek first. But hold on a minute, before we get carried away and go home thinking it is okay as long as our heart is in the right place, let's face it, as somebody else said to me, we are all Christians, we all want a better world, and you don't have to come here, you can go to a secular church now on Sundays, there are lots of them springing up all over the place, where you get to sing pop songs and listen to an inspiring speaker. That would make a change, wouldn't it? Standing there telling you how much better things could be. But that's not enough. That's not enough in the Jesus idea of God's kingdom. You need to begin with the desire, but then, what did the merchant do? He sold all that he had to buy it. What did the man do who hid his treasure in a field? In his joy, he sells all that he has and buys the field. Doesn't make much sense, does it? What merchant would sell everything he owns to buy a single pearl? What's the point in burying treasure then buying the field? Sounds like a bunch of apprentices on Alan Sugar's program. You're fired. It is senseless, irrational, crazy by the world's way of thinking. But so is the shepherd. You remember the shepherd who leaves the 99 sheep unattended and goes in search for the one that is lost. So is the father who welcomes back the prodigal son who has squandered everything. So is the one who gives away his coat after he has been sued for his shirt. So is the one who goes the extra mile. So is Jesus when he walks to Jerusalem to certain death. That's the kingdom of God. Extravagant, senseless, irrational gestures, great cost, great sacrifice, great love, without let, without counting. That's what Jesus pointed to in his parables about the kingdom. They were always asking him to point the way to where the kingdom was. They wanted him to start a revolution, to kick the Romans out, then we can have the kingdom here. All Jesus said was, the kingdom of God is within you, among you. The kingdom of God is like. It is not anywhere you can point to. It's not like anything you can desire. It is not motherhood and apple pie, wishful thinking for a better world. Maybe it is no more than just a gesture, a moment, an instant in your life and in mine that comes close to being like the life of Jesus, sacrificial, full of freedom, full of love. And when you see it in the life and the death and the rising of Jesus, if, like him, you are prepared to give anything, to go anywhere, to pay any price, that's what Jesus said, remember, whoever wants to follow me and be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. If you are prepared to belong to churches, to support charities, to help the most needy, to welcome strangers, to make coffee, to talk to your neighbors, to read newspapers and websites and all the rest, if then you will be ready in any moment for when the kingdom comes. For the kingdom of God is the foolishness of God that is wiser than human wisdom. The kingdom of God is brought in by a cross and a risen Savior. And it is a girl's, and a boy's, and a woman's, and a man's, a wanting, desiring human's best life.